everyone, it's Julie Harvey here with your new edition of the Epsom Annual Talking Newspaper. It's issue number 2210 and it's being recorded on Thursday the 6th of December 2018. Before we start the news, there is a short request. Volunteers are working hard preparing for the Mayor's Charity Ball to be held next May. As you all know, your Talking Newspaper is one of the three charities to receive money raised by the Mayor during his term of office, and so the ball represents a major fundraising opportunity for us. We are asking everyone we can think of if they have any friends or relations who might be able to support the ball. Do you have any contacts? The organisers are looking for three things. Companies who might be interested in sponsoring an aspect of the ball in return for advertising, prizes for the raffle, and thirdly, any unusual or special items that the guests might bid for in the auction that will take place on the night. Examples of items for the auction which have already been donated are golf and afternoon tea for four people at the RAC, a sailing lesson, a flight in a biplane, an indoor polo lesson, and a tie and scarf set. We would also welcome raffle prizes for the smaller fundraising events, such as bottles of wine, boxes of chocolates, and so on. So if you have any friends or relations who might be able to help, we would be delighted to hear from you. Messages can be left on the answer phone at our studio at Swale House, which is 01372 721 519, and we will let you know we've received your message. Thank you very much on behalf of everyone working away to make the ball a huge success. Now for today's edition. There is news about proposed changes to free bus passes, who controls our fire service, and what's been happening to tackle fly tipping. Do we value our trees in Epsom? How many new houses do we have to build each year? Could a future London mayor come from our part of the country? And can you tell apart the songs of a robin, a blackbird and a thrush? Reading the news today, we have Gabriel Richardson, Simon Gale and Doc Clench. In control of the technical side of things is our recordist for the day, Roger Stockwell. We start with the lead story from the Epsom Comet.
Hello, this is Gabriel. The world's your oyster. Transport Secretary Chris Grayling confirms Oyster cards and contactless will be rolled out at Epsom. Commuters travelling to and from Epsom will soon get to tap in and out of the railway station using an Oyster card and contactless payment, it has been confirmed. In a statement to Epsom Comet, the local MP, Chris Grayling, revealed the new ticketing system would be rolled out by the end of March, but an exact date remains to be confirmed. The MP said, "It has taken far more time than I would have wanted, but I am writing to let you know that the promise made by Southern Rail at the start of its franchise to introduce Oyster and contactless cards to Epsom and a group of stations in Hertfordshire is finally going to happen. I hope this will make Epsom easier to access and use and will end the situation where people arriving at Epsom expecting to be able to use Oyster face a penalty fare. But those expecting ticket prices to go down next year will be disappointed to learn Epsom Railway Station will not be expanded into Zone 6 of the London Oyster. The railway station will remain outside the London Oyster card zone, unlike nearby stations Epsom Downs or Tattenham Corner, and fares will remain more or less the same. Mr. Grayling promised fares would stay broadly in line with what they are now due to a lack of funding for a fare cut. Mr. Grayling, who described himself as a commuter, also acknowledged the train delays and cancellations experienced by South Western Railway passengers in the past few weeks. He said, I saw the chief executive of Network Rail earlier this week and also asked him to make sure that our local route gets access to additional investment to tackle the current problems. I commissioned a senior rail figure, Sir Michael Holden, to review the way in which South West Rail and Network Rail operate together on this network, and he has identified a number of improvements to the way the railway should work. These are now starting to be implemented.
Hello, Simon here. Fundraiser of the Year praised for his £200,000. A man from Epsom has been crowned Endurance Fundraiser of the Year at the Just Giving Awards after raising over £200,000 in just 4 years for Prostate Cancer UK. Kevin Webber, 53, was presented with the accolade by Sky Sports presenter Jeff Stelling at a star-studded event in London on November the 20th. Mr. Webber was diagnosed with advanced terminal prostate cancer in 2014, aged just 49, with three young children and told that he may have only 2 years to live. Since then, he's raised over £200,000 tackling grueling marathons, such as the Marathon de Sable in the Sahara Desert, the Leikes 6633 Arctic Ultra in Canada beyond the Arctic Circle. In Canada, Mr. Webber ran 120 miles whilst pulling a sledge in temperatures below minus 30 degrees centigrade. Then 2 weeks later, he ran another 156 miles, but this time in over 50 degrees centigrade heat as he took on the Marathon de Sable for a third time. At the award ceremony in London, Mr. Webber said it was amazing to win this award and dedicated it to his son Ollie, 14, and to his wife Sarah. He said, in 2014, at the age of 49, when I was told I may live only 2 years, my whole world came crashing down. All I could think about was 2 years. A few months later, after my first session of chemotherapy, I even had a thought that I would never run again, but decided not to let the cancer win. Instead, I ran for 3 slow miles that day and kept on running further and further, day by day. He added, I've met some wonderful people in the last few years and everyone's been so generous in helping me raise much needed funds for Prostate Cancer UK. Jeff Stelling said, Kevin Webber is one of the most inspirational people I've ever met. It was an honour to walk side by side with him in our March for Men from Exeter to Newcastle in 2017. His reaction and positive outlook, despite being dealt the toughest of hands, is simply unbelievable. I tip my hat to him after a succession of amazing challenges for Prostate Cancer UK, and this award is worthy testimony to a remarkable man. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men, with 11,500 sufferers dying each year. That's one man every 45 minutes.
Hello, good morning, I'm Dot. Student sows the seeds of success. A Banstead schoolboy has raised £121.06 for the Princess Alice Hospice in Esher by growing his own flowers and vegetables. 8-year-old Banstead Junior School pupil Stanley Parrott started a profitable vegetable and flower business over the summer to raise cash for a young friend with cerebral palsy. After the death of a much-loved family friend called Nobby Wadmore in January, Stanley took it upon himself to also raise cash for the hospice, which cared for Mr. Wadmore. Stanley asked his mum, Nikki, and dad, Barry, for a vegetable trough on his 7th birthday, then set to growing a variety of vegetables and flowers for sale to neighbours and friends. The boy has grown a variety of vegetables such as carrots, beetroots, tomatoes, radishes, as well as sunflowers, which he delivers to customers around the area with the help of his brother Alfie and his neighbour Imogen. Mr. Wadmore was admitted to the hospice during the Christmas season last year and died in mid-January, surrounded by his family.
First aider seeks man he supported. A Tadworth man who performed CPR on a stranger in Epsom Downs is appealing for help to locate him to make sure he is safe. Shane Funnell, a 30-year-old coach driver from Tadworth, claims he was driving home from work on August the 13th when he spotted a Jaguar on the side of Grandstand Road. As he approached the car, Mr. Funnell noticed the man inside was still conscious but looking unwell, and he immediately called for an ambulance. While the two were waiting, Mr. Funnell noticed the man in the car had stopped breathing and was told by the operator he would need to get him out of the car and perform CPR. Mr. Funnell said, "I couldn't understand why no one came over. After the event, I was shaken up and upset. I didn't imagine I would be driving home from work and for that to happen. Seeing ambulances and the police is something I'm not used to, and it was quite traumatic." Mr. Funnell said he later called Epsom Hospital to find out whether the man had recovered, but was told the hospital could not give away any personal information because of data protection laws. He added, "It would be nice to know if he is okay or not." Geraldine Bethel from Tadwell, who described herself as Mr. Funnell's proud auntie, contacted the Comet as a Christmas present to her nephew. She said, "It would be a lovely Christmas present if Shane could find out if his actions had saved the man's life. The man was called Ross and born in September 1953. Are you the man in the story or his relative? To get in touch with Mr. Funnell or his aunt, email the journalist who's written this article, Mathilde Frott, on all lowercasing, Mathilde, M-A-T-H-I-L-D-E, stop Frott, F-R-O-T, at london.newsquest.co.uk with your contact details.
Caravan fire spread to homes. A blaze ripped through a caravan, damaged two neighbouring bungalows in Chessington at the weekend, according to the London Fire Brigade. Four fire engines and around 25 firefighters were called to a caravan fire on Green Lane at about 7:10 p.m. on November the 25th and spent approximately an hour and a half putting it out. Fire crews from Surbiton and New Malden fire stations, along with firefighters from Surrey Fire and Rescue Service, attended the scene. Firefighters removed a 47-kilogram propane cylinder from the scene and cooled it down to ambient temperatures, as cylinders can explode when exposed to heat.
Dad left upset after redwood felled. An Epsom dad has been left distraught after a tree surgeon chopped down the beautiful redwood tree in the communal garden near his home on Tuesday, November the 27th. John Plumpton, 53, who has been living at the Cressinghams for 17 years, said, "I've got pictures of my sons going to school in front of that tree. It's extremely upsetting." The dad said he was alerted to the presence of a tree surgeon in the communal garden near his home by his wife the same afternoon and rushed home. He told the Comet he initially considered climbing up the tree or sitting in front of it to stop the redwood from being felled, but it was too late by the time he arrived home. Mr. Plumpton warned the tree surgeon that he had called the police, according to Shenda Canacott at Latchmere Properties, the company which owned the freehold on the land. She said, "I have spoken to the gentleman this morning. I did sympathise with him, but it's not in his garden. It's nothing to do with him. Like I said, any tree surgeon always checks that they're able to fell trees. It's their duty." The tree surgeon was on the phone to me saying the tree was dying. She added, "The resident said he called the police, but I don't think he did because they didn't come. He was extremely upset."
Candidate for mayoral post blasts commute. A Kingston resident selected as the Lib Dem London mayoral candidate for 2020 has complained commuting on South Western Railway can be, in her words, a daily misery. Former civil servant Siobhan Benita, aged 47, described Kingston as a bit of a hidden gem, but conceded that locals may not be feeling it when they are stuck on a platform waiting for their train to arrive. The mayoral candidate, who commutes to work on South Western Railway every day, said that she has found it can be a daily misery due to daily cancellations and strikes. She said several mayors have said, "We are going to tackle this." "There's more that needs to be done," she said, "in holding these train companies to account. People pay a lot of money, and the mayor should be doing a lot more." Miss Benita, who stood as an independent in the 2012 election, has been based in the borough of Kingston for over a decade. She said, "I have lived in Kingston Borough for the last 14 years, but before that I was just over in the borough of Merton, so I am a local. It's a lovely place to live. You have the best of both worlds, living close to the centre with Richmond Park and Surrey nearby." The pro-EU candidate said the Lib Dems offer a fresh alternative to London's tired two-party politics and vowed to tackle violent crime via a genuinely public health approach. Leader of the Liberal Democrats, Vince Cable, said Siobhan Benita has made a big impression in London and will be an excellent candidate to take on both Labour and the Conservatives. "I look forward to working with Siobhan in standing up for the issues that matter, not least tackling London's knife crime crisis, the soaring cost of living, and stopping this Conservative Brexit mess." He continued, "Liberal Democrats have had a string of great electoral successes right across London. Now is the time to get behind Siobhan and demand better."
Free Bus Pass Act concerns. Carers on low incomes are going to be hit hard if their free bus pass is scrapped, claims one Tory councillor. Surrey County Council says it's one of the few areas left in the country that still offers free bus passes for companions of people with disability who need help to travel. One of the proposals as part of a major consultation into the future of travel, libraries, SEND, special educational needs and disability services, and recycling centres is to scrap the concession. Hours for when a disability bus pass is valid will also be limited to between 9:30 a.m. and 11 p.m. It estimates these changes will save around £400,000 a year. Speaking out against the proposals, Councillor Christine Richardson, Conservative member of Elmbridge Borough Council, EBC, whose leader Tim Oliver is set to take over running the Surrey County Council if voted in next month, says scrapping the free pass will have a big impact. She said, "The whole point of giving carers a free bus pass is because they're on such a low income in the first place. They need to get the person they are caring for to hospital appointments. Taking money away from these people is doing them a disservice when they're really struggling to look after people with special needs." Her comments came at SCC and EBC local committee on Monday, November the 26th, when councillors got the chance to grill officers over the major changes set out in the consultation. Given a voice to parents of children with special educational needs and disabilities, Councillor Richardson said she understood how SEND services needed changing in Surrey due to her experience with her son. She added, "Having lived in other areas other than Surrey, my experience of Surrey SEND was the worst of any area. I struggled to even get them to turn up when we had meetings at school for the statement." So far, 500 people have responded to the SEND section of the consultation, with 2,500 people providing comments on changes to the library service. The proposals also include closing children's centres, libraries and community recycling centres. On Monday, councillors said they were hearing from residents about the fears over the proposed closures and what they would mean for access to services. Committee Chairman Councillor John O'Reilly said the reorganisation was really going to impact those in May's just about managing category. SCC needs to make a further £200 million savings between now and 2021. Mary Burgery's strategic lead for continuous improvement and change at SCC said this was a fundamental restructure and a review of how SCC delivers services. The consultation runs until January the 4th.
Fire Service Control Remit. Surrey's Fire and Rescue Service is to remain under the control of the County Council. Governance of the Fire Authority has been under review for the past year after new powers were given to police and crime commissioners to bring it under their remit. But Surrey's Police and Crime Commissioner has decided not to take control of the county's fire service. David Munro has met with Surrey County Council officers but said that with new leadership in the council and fire service, there was a commitment to ensuring that in the face of a pressing need to deliver savings, Surrey retains an effective fire service for its residents and businesses. Mr. Munro originally put off making a decision in May this year, saying he needed more evidence of the business case. But he has concluded that because the Fire and Rescue Service is embedded into the County Council, any changes in governance could prove substantial. In a paper to go to the Surrey Police and Crime Panel on November 28th, Joanna Byrne, Senior Police Officer for OPCC, writes, "The Police Crime Commissioner remains convinced that fundamentally we can do more to align blue light services in Surrey, but a change in governance should not be necessary to achieve this. The PCC has therefore concluded that it is in Surrey's best interest to continue to focus on collaborative work between police and fire and between the fire services in Surrey and Sussex. He will not be proceeding with a business case for change of governance. Mr. Munro says he will support a collaboration between three fire services in Surrey, East Sussex and West Sussex, but stressed he felt it could be progressing further and faster."
Video link. Man charged with murder. A 25-year-old man has been remanded in custody, charged with the murder of a 52-year-old who was found dead at his home. Gerald Matavu of Great Guildford Street, Southwark, appeared by video link at Wimbledon Magistrates Court, charged over the death of Eric Michels, who was found dead at a property in Bolton Road, Chessington, on August the 18th. Matavu was charged with eight further offences, including two counts of theft, fraud by false representation, inflicting grievous bodily harm, and possession of a Class C drug.
Attempted robbery. Police are looking for a suspect who allegedly grabbed his victim around the neck in an attempted robbery in Epsom. The incident is believed to have happened at the junction of Laburnum Road between 8.15 and 8.30 on November the 18th. Police said the victim had just dropped his family at home and was heading back towards Epsom to pick up some food. At the junction of Laburnum Road, the offender allegedly stepped out in front of the victim and demanded money. A spokesman for Surrey Police said the victim refused and attempted to continue walking, at which point the offender grabbed the victim around the neck. Both ended up on the floor. As a result, the victim ended up with a slight nosebleed and a black eye. It's believed the offender may have received similar injuries. The offender has been described as a white male, 5'9", tall and of stocky build. He was wearing dark coloured clothing, including a facial covering which obscured most of his face. Investigating Officer Police Constable Nick Eagle said, "We are keen to identify this offender and ensure he is not able to target members of the public. On this occasion, he has picked on someone who is able to defend himself. The next person may not be so fortunate."
Drug dealer gets 6 years. A 26-year-old drug dealer from Epsom has been jailed for possession with intent to supply Class A drugs. Hanil Rosetta appeared at Guildford Crown Court last week and was sentenced to 6 years imprisonment. He was arrested in June after officers on patrol carried out a stop check of a red Ford Fiesta on the A24 Leatherhead bypass and found phones, money and drug-related paraphernalia inside. Later that day, officers found drug dealing equipment and large quantities of Class A drugs at an address in Epsom, with an estimated street value of over £3,000. Rosetta was on licence, having been released from prison early, where he was serving 9.5 years for supplying undercover officers with crack cocaine in 2012. Rosetta's partner, a 25-year-old woman from Guildford, was also sentenced to prison for possession with intent to supply Class A drugs. Claudia D'Souza appeared at Guildford Crown Court on November the 23rd and was sentenced to 5 years, 7 months imprisonment for the same offence as Rosetta. PC Elliot Harley, who led the investigation, said, "One of the most shocking things about this case is that the Ford Fiesta we pulled over had two children aged 1 and 5 in the car. The children were not Rosetta's, but the children of a Class A drug user who was driving him round to deal drugs. We would encourage you to come forward if you suspect anyone is involved in county line drug dealing."
Racial abuse hurled in traffic. Officers are investigating after suspects allegedly hurled racist abuse and objects at their victim while queuing in traffic on the A24 in Newell. Police said the occupants of a dark-coloured Nissan Juke reportedly hurled items at and made racially abusive comments to a driver while queuing in traffic. The incident is believed to have happened at the junction of Cheam Road on Thursday, November the 22nd at around 7:15 in the evening.
This is from Nature Notes by Tony Drakeford. Walking by a roadside holly bush one mild afternoon in November, I became aware of a series of faint, mellow, warbling notes emanating from the depths of the bush. Robins sing throughout winter, but this was no robin, as the notes were more varied and muted, as if the mysterious unseen bird was quietly whispering sweet nothings to itself. I continued listening, trying to identify the tentative song, until suddenly, amid a flurry of wings, a blackbird literally erupted out of the bush, uttering his staccato alarm call, and sped across the road into a pyracantha bush. Blackbirds do not usually begin singing in earnest until late December, at the earliest. The dawn chorus is months away. Perhaps he was fooled into thinking on this mild day that he was on the cusp of spring, so he'd better begin practising. I fondly remember listening to the wonder of dawn choruses years ago, but since the 1970s, many birds, along with much wildlife, have declined steeply. The choruses nowadays are a mere whisper of their former glory, certainly in my era at any rate. Song and mistle thrushes normally begin singing in November, being the first species to prepare for spring and territory consolidation, but so far nothing. In fact, I've not heard a song thrush for 2 years, but hopefully they will make an appearance soon.
The next two items are taken from Surrey Matters newsletter for December. Gritter trucks are now on standby, keeping the county moving. Surrey's fleet of gritter trucks is now on standby until April to help keep the roads safe when the temperature plummets. Keeping the roads clear of ice and snow is vital for keeping the county moving. With the snowfall last winter, 11,000 tonnes of salt were used on the roads, 4,000 tonnes more than the average amount used in recent years. Surrey's busiest roads are prioritised for salting, as well as key bus routes and access to main shopping centres, hospitals and emergency service bases. The salt does take time to work. It actually needs some traffic to drive over it to make it most effective, and becomes less effective once the temperature of the road surface drops to -7. So please take care when driving in cold weather and leave extra time for your journeys. For travel advice and to find out when the gritters are going out, follow @SurreyTravel on Twitter. Grit salt bins. Grit bins are located at various places around the county for use on public roads and pavements. Please don't use them for private property, as shortages in grit could cause a danger to motorists. Grit or salt can be bought from major builders' merchants or large garden centres. You can see the cold weather plan, a map of the gritter routes and location of the grit bins on the Surrey County Council salting and gritting webpage.
The final items are from a Residents Association newsletter. Street cleansing. Now autumn is here, Epsom and Ewell Borough Council concentrate on autumn leaf fall, and the streets deep cleaning programme will restart in January 2019. Epsom and Ewell Borough Council have a dedicated alleyway team of two staff who clear litter in alleys across the borough. The network they cover is approximately 190 alleys and footpaths, a distance of approximately 29 miles. There is one response team of three staff for litter picking across the borough. With over 750 roads, the team will target areas known to be heavily littered and will respond to customers' requests which have come in through the Epsom and Ewell call centre 01372 732 000.
Environmental enforcement. In November, the Borough's Council's Environmental Health Team, EHT, joined Epsom and Ewell Beat, Surrey Police, the Environment Agency and the Driver and Vehicle Standards Agency in an unannounced vehicle check. As part of the strategy to address fly tipping, the EHT focused on vehicles that were likely to carry waste or waste materials to check they were lawfully transporting waste. 33 vehicles were examined, 10 notices were issued requiring production of written information, and a further 17 notices requiring production of a licence to transport waste. Failure to produce documentation will result in a fine. Given the success of this initiative, the agencies are looking forward to conducting similar days of action across the borough in the near future.
Borough housing targets. The government imposed a target requiring the building of over 11,500 houses in the borough over the next 20 years, with an annual target to meet housing need of 579 dwellings per annum. That is an impossible figure for Epsom and Ewell, which is the smallest and most densely populated borough in Surrey. With 44% of the land already urban built, the UK average being just 6%. And whilst Residents Association councillors fully support the need for more housing, the necessary roads, schools and local services need to be in place, and our well-performing green belt needs to be protected. Better news came in October, therefore, when the Independent Office for National Statistics announced a recalculation of the objectively assessed housing need for local authorities. For Epsom and Ewell, that new figure is 372 dwellings per annum. Whilst even 372 dwellings per annum will be a challenge, unfortunately, the government is proposing that local authorities should continue to plan for the existing figures, in our case, for 579.
Alexandra Park car park. The car park at Alexandra Park is being misused by car owners who are not using the park, resulting in non-availability for genuine patrons. To manage this situation, Epsom and Ure Borough Council will be consulting on the introduction of regulating parking as follows. Between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday, there will be a limit of 4 hours parking with no return for an hour.
Battling against the odds for street trees. The fight to preserve Epsom Ure's leafy environment for future generations is entering a critical phase, following a series of setbacks that have astonished members of a voluntary group that has stepped in to raise thousands of pounds for street tree planting after the council's budget was scrapped. Months ago, the Epsom Ure Tree Advisory Board, TAB, received in-principle approval for 41 out of 51 of its fully funded planting sites. All but 13, however, have now been rejected following onerous new checks the Borough Council says have to be carried out under Surrey County Council guidelines. It seems even a single underground service in a grass verge, whatever that verge's size, can result in blanket refusal, even though that service could often be easily and safely avoided by common sense tree positioning. A recent SCCC statement that trees are appropriate in parks, not in streets, and counties' reluctance to progress separate externally funded major greening initiatives in East Street and Station Approach are now feeding the impression that some in authority are opposed to street trees in principle. TAB Chairman Mike Ford said, "We've come to a sorry pass when voluntary groups and concerned councillors who stepped up to the challenge of replacing lost public funding for street tree planting appear to be regarded as nuisances by officials who seem to become fixated with the idea that street trees carry unnecessary costs, ignoring the well-documented contribution they make to residents' sense of well-being, air quality and general quality of the environment, which itself influences property values." TAB is not taking these setbacks lying down, however, and as well as appealing against the most perverse rejections of our recent planting suggestions, is determined to expose the folly of letting our urban environment slide into decline.
Now, in case you think of anyone you know who has a company contact or who can help us with prizes for the ball, I'll repeat the number for the studio answer phone in Swale House. It is 01372 721 519. And that concludes the news section for today.